I think there's a part of you buried somewhere deep that wanted me to die that day. That was maybe even relieved. Happy.
Billy, no, it's not true.
That's why you stood there, isn't it, Max? It's okay, you can admit it now. No more lies. No more hiding.
Billy, that's not true. I swear it's not true.
That is why you feel such guilt.
No.
Why you hide from your friends.
No.
Why you hide from the world.
No.
And why, late at night, you have sometimes wished to follow me. Follow me into death. That is why I am here, Max, to end your suffering once and for all.
It is time, Max. Time for you to join me.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving Stranger Things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever. It's been a couple days since I last was here talking to you about Dear Billy. In fact, it was on Monday, I think, was the last episode. And I have to tell the truth. I have to tell you why I didn't have an episode on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And that's because of baseball. Yes. Yes, I am a Red Sox fan, a hopeful Red Sox fan, an excited Red Sox fan Tuesday night, a hesitantly hopeful Red Sox fan after Wednesday night, and a somewhat sad Red Sox fan after Thursday night. Some might say somewhat sad all 3 nights, you know, that I spent all my time watching baseball. But it was fun to have the Red Sox in the playoffs for the small amount of time they were in. But that was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're here now on Friday. Well, by the time you hear this, it's probably Saturday. By the time I finish recording this, it's probably going to be Saturday. But I'm here. It's October. We are in our last final full month without Stranger Things 5. Think about it. October. This is it. Next month. You know what next month is? Let me check the calendar. I'm pretending to look at a calendar. It's November. November 2025. The month we have been waiting for before we even knew we were waiting for it. You know, we only found out a couple months ago when the actual episodes would be dropping. But before that, we were waiting years for this month. And by this month, I mean next month, November 2025. The month that Stranger Things is given Stranger Things 5 to us. The beginning, at least, the first 4 episodes. And oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I cannot wait. But I have to. We all have to. And in the meantime, let's continue along our tale, our retelling, our rewatching, our reliving of Stranger Things 4. Today, we are finishing up Dear Billy. Yes, we're going over the 10-minute allotted time. I checked the rules and I made them up so I can break them. So we're going to break right through that 10 minutes and finish this episode, which I say is one of the most iconic endings of a regular season Stranger Things episode, with one of the most iconic shots of this entire season. And that's saying a lot because we're only four episodes in. But boy, oh boy, this was a, just rewatching it, knowing what's going to happen, seeing it before, and reliving it, it was like, it still made me emotional. It still gave me chills. And it's those things, those feelings that Stranger Things brings out in people. I think that's why we love this show so much. But before we get there,
as you've probably seen on the news, strange things are happening in Hawkins, Indiana. So now, it's time to be bold by sharing your message of support during the Doritos Telethon for Hawkins. Pick up a phone now to speak with David Hasselhoff, Paula Abdul, Alf, and many more. We'll even feature the boldest messages in our telecast. Call now to chip in.
So I called that number last time, and I think what it was like, it wasn't ready yet. Just because I found that number on a picture of the Doritos bag, I called it. And, you know, we just was like, we get a message saying it's not time yet. But then on the 29th, just a few days ago, Doritos put out that video. The video of the Doritos Telethon for Hawkins, Stranger Things 5. And the guy says, strange things are happening in Hawkins. A little on the nose, but, you know, it's not. This wasn't written by the Duffers. And it says, you know, you can listen, you could talk to David Hasselhoff, Paula Abdul, Alf, and many others. I mean, to me, David Hasselhoff is best known for two big things. One was in the 90s, and I guess maybe in the 2000s as well, but mostly in the 90s, was Baywatch. I feel like Baywatch started when I was graduating eighth grade. So it might have been like high school, but I remember it being on in college. I only got so many channels on our TV in my dorm, and one of them, Baywatch was on every night, and it came in perfectly. So it's like, well, I guess that's what I'm watching again. But he will always be the 80s icon, Michael Knight. Before he's Mitch Buchanan, he's Michael Knight of Knight Rider, of course, with the talking car. I mean, that was like the most amazing thing in the world to me as a kid. So that's what he's best known as. Alf, of course, is best known as the alien life form, Gordon Shumway from the planet Melmac, who came down and lived with the Tanner family on Alf for however many seasons there were. He was, you know, kind of a funny comedic version of E.T. at the time, you know, kind of capitalizing on that. And, of course, Paula Abdul is best known, well, you know what, maybe best known for a lot of people as the one of the first judges on American Idol. But to me, Paula Abdul is forever that girl, your girl. And step up now, tell me, are you really going to love me forever? Ow, ow, ow. Or are you just having fun? Okay, now I'm going to keep singing it. That was like eighth grade, I think, for me, which was just prime, you know, like that dance hip hop. I was into hard rock. I was kind of slowly getting into more heavy metal stuff. And yet I still liked pop and dance. I still do. I like everything. Maybe I don't really like country. I apologize to country fans out there. I don't. Or new metal, NU metal. Nope, those two things, they can go away. But everything else, there are songs here and there I like of everything. But anyway, my point is I don't know if they're the three biggest icons of the 80s, but I do know that when you say those three names together, Hasselhoff, Paula Abdul, and Alf, two actors and a character, you can't help but think of the 1980s. And they said call and leave your message of support. So I called and I called and I called again because I wanted to hear what they're actually saying.
Hello. Thanks for calling into the 1987 Doritos Telethon for Hawkins. Para Español, diga Español. All righty. Well, as you've seen in the news, strange things are happening in Hawkins, Indiana. And that's why we're here. So you can chip in with your bold messages of support But enough out of me. Let me hand the phone to someone a little more famous.
Hi there, caller. You're all with me, David Hasselhoff, TV superstar with a superstar smile. What the? I got a bit of a situation here. Oh, boy. Why don't you give us a call back, and we'll get another star on the line, okay?
So it seems that first phone call, David Hasselhoff gets murdered, so you can't actually leave a message with him. So it does say to call back. They just want you to call again, I guess. So I immediately did that because I immediately wanted to hear from another superstar.
Thanks for calling into the 1987 Doritos Telethon for Hawkins.
Lucas, Justin, where are you guys? Over. It's getting kind of crazy out here, and I'm the cute one. Nothing is supposed to happen to the cute. Hold the phone. Who are you? Did Dustin put you up to this? Or to Lucas? I don't know who you are, and I could find out. I just don't want to. I'm busy saving America. You know, the place we all live. You can't spell America without Erica. Bye-bye.
What's that you said? Sorry.
You know, I think you might be talking to someone else. Something about Erica. You know, I'm going to go to another call, but try dialing again. It's never too late to chip in.
So with that one, it sounded like Erica gave me a moment to say my name, but there was no place to leave a message. But that it seems like Erica barged in. She hacked in. She's looking for Dustin. She's looking for Lucas. We get to see her, how much she loves America and how she's the cute one. So that was another fun one, but it was just, I guess, a way of saying, okay, call us back again. Like, it didn't ask anything of you. It just says to call back again. So of course I did.
Hello there, and thanks for dialing in to the Doritos Telethon for Hawkins. I'm Alf, TV's number one alien life form, and the only telethon volunteer from the planet Melmac. If you're wondering how I got this job, join the club. Anyway, what should I call you, human? Hello? Hey, just because I'm an alien, it doesn't mean I could read minds. Why don't you tell me your name? Wow, that's a name fit for TV. A soap opera, maybe. Anyway, Hawkins needs a lot of encouragement, so we're counting on you to give it. And of course, sharing your message means you're an adult, and you agree to let Doritos and our media friends use your name and message for official telethon marketing efforts. So, what do you want to tell the people of Hawkins? That message was pretty good. You deserve a polite golf clap. I'm no expert on humans, but I'm pretty sure the ones in Hawkins will like it. Thanks for calling to chip in, and do it again soon, okay? Who knows who might pick up? Arrivederci.
Why does Alf remind me of my wife's uncle in Florida, the way he talks? I don't know. But that is the same voice of Alf that was from the 1980s. That was comedian Paul Fusco, who's been Alf forever. I assume he was Alf on all the cartoons. Alf, wasn't there like Alf had a talk show for a while, a late night talk show? Yeah. So they said, call again. You never know who you might hear from. So, I mean, look, I didn't have a lot to do tonight, so I called again.
Well, hello, and welcome to the 1987 Doritos Telethon for Hawkins. You're on with me, Paula Abdul, and I'm so glad you called to chip in, because we got a town to cheer up. But before we begin, mind telling me your name, sweetheart? No way. I actually have a backup dancer with that name. What a small world. Unless you're Alf, then it would be pretty big. Anyway, we're here collecting bold messages of support for the town of Hawkins. Something that gets them moving and grooving. Now, of course, sharing your message means you're an adult and you agree to let Doritos and our media friends use your name and message for official telethon marketing efforts. So, you're ready for your big solo? Let's hear your boldest message for the town of Hawkins. Oh, honey, you were in a groove with that message. So bold. As bold as breaking the world record for the longest motorcycle wheelie. I wouldn't be surprised if those words make it somewhere big. So on behalf of everyone here and all those folks in Hawkins, thanks, darling, for chipping in. Call us again, okay? You never know who might pick up next. Bye for now.
I did call one more time, to be honest, and it was Paula Abdul who picked up again. And you know what? She said the exact same thing, so I'm starting to think it was a recording. So I didn't call after that. I said, okay, once I get a repeat, I'm not going to call again. But it seemed like for Alf and for Paula Abdul, they both were the episode, they both were allowing you to say your name and leave some sort of message. And I like that they're like, now make sure you're an adult, make sure, or that you have permission from an adult. I like that because they could use you for marketing purposes. And this is how we cover our butts. But that's a fun thing. You know, it's very 80s. It's very, like just kind of silly, and it ties into just kind of the marketing push that I hope we're going to start seeing over and over for the next month and a half and longer, because I feel like we're going to get it. And then we're going to have that month between the first few episodes and Christmas Eve. We have a month break, and believe me, we will be talking Stranger Things that entire month. But I wonder if we'll get more and more stuff. I've already seen, you know, as far as like products, well, we talked about the popcorn bucket. I saw that Target is going all out, actually. And before I talk about that, you know, I mentioned the popcorn buckets. I saw Chips Ahoy chips at my grocery store, and I saw two Doritos flavors, but I'm looking for the ones, I think they're like glow in the dark, and they're like a special flavor. I haven't found that one yet. So I haven't purchased any of these Stranger Things items yet, but they look delicious. But as I said, Target, they put out a press release. This fall, Target will be the ultimate destination for fans to celebrate the fifth and final season of Netflix's Stranger Things, with the largest assortment of exclusive products in retail in the U.S., along with throwbacks to 1980s nostalgia, with an in-store shopping experience, an integrated marketing campaign, and more. I like more. I will put a link to, I'm going to put a link to the Doritos video in the show notes, so you can check that out. And you can also call. If I didn't say the number again, it's 1-855-4-HAWKINS. Now, if you don't want to, you know, look up the letters, you just dial 855-442-9546. And that's how you can call and leave your message with Alf or Paula Abdul, or listen to the other messages as well. And then I will put a link to this press release from Target that says October 5th, a launch date, October 5th, with an additional product drop throughout November leading up to the show's three-part series finale, four episodes on the 26th, of course, three on Christmas Day, and then the big finale. 150-plus new items across apparel and accessories, food and beverage, home collectibles, and more. And again, you know how much I love more. I just said that. Over half of the assortment is exclusive to Target. A new dedicated in-store shopping experience brings Hawkins, Indiana, and the Upside Down to life on Target stores and on Target.com. Are you effing kidding me? I'm sorry for the language, but what? And there's a link to the actual Stranger Things section of Target.com where it says the countdown begins. New and exclusive products arriving 10/5. What's the only at Target? That's what I want to see. Exclusive at Target. Dungeons and Dragons, The Rise of Hellfire. Target, $15.99. What is this? What is this? A Target exclusive paperback by Jody Hauser. Is this the comic? Oh, it's the comic. Okay. Which I've yet to do for the book club. So that's another thing there. Believe me, we're going to have lots to talk about for a long time to come. But okay, what else do they have here? Purple Rain. Why is Purple Rain by Prince there? I don't know. They have the Dungeons and Dragons tabletop game. They have Stranger Things. Oh, they actually have Ninja Turtle crossover. I mean, okay, you get Master Puppets on vinyl. All right. Steve in the Squawk of... Did I say the Squawk of Hawkins? I think I did, and they're calling it the Squawk Van Funko Pop. I don't want to be spoiled by anything here. Just Lucas Funko Pop, Robin Funko Pop. What else? I want to see like specific food items, but the only thing I see is the bucket. Look, I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes, and there's a giant Vecna costume for $60 that I want to buy and I want to wear. Oh my goodness gracious. There's a lot of cool things. I will just put links to these in the show notes, and it shows what could be a really cool display at Target if I do get to a Target and find it. If my local Target down the street, it's not very far from here, if they do have a display, I will take a photo of it and put it in the show notes of an upcoming episode. Oh my goodness gracious. I am excited. So many great Stranger Things are going to be happening. Stranger Things related things. It's here. Like, get ready, celebrate this, enjoy this, because it's the beginning of the end. Now, it's not the end for Stranger Things as a thing, but for this story, for what we've been focusing on for the better part of a decade, this really is, you know, it. So let's appreciate it. Let's enjoy it. And let's continue on our rewatch. Let's continue on Stranger Things Forever. And let's continue with the final moments of Dear Billy.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we pick up with minute 60, and we're in Hawkins. We do not leave Hawkins for this final 10 plus minutes of Stranger Things. And we're still with Max. She is still sitting right in front of Billy's grave and finishing up the letter where she says, you know, everything would be right again. She imagines that they'd become friends, you know, good friends, like a real brother and sister, which she's like, you know, it's crazy. You know, you hated me, I hated you, but maybe we could have tried, but that did not happen. And you think, you know, could it have happened? And I'm going to say, based on that last moment of Billy's life, yes. Yes, it could have happened if he survived that. Because that was the one thing I feel like that brought a heroic side, a good side out of him. You know, he was a bully, and he was a kid who was abused himself, like emotionally abused and picked on by his own father. So he was basically a product of his upbringing, of his surroundings. But he didn't deserve what happened to him. You know, even before his final death, he didn't deserve any of that. And the fact that there was something in there, some good, something that cared, shows me that, yeah, it could have definitely happened. Absolutely. But Max says, you know, it's not what happened. You know, she just stood there and she says, you know, maybe a part of her died that day too. She never told anybody what she was saying right there. So, you know, she hopes, hopefully that he can hear her, because you could see the emotion really coming out. It's like she needed to say these things. She's sorry. She's so very sorry. You know, love your shitty little sister, Max. And then in that moment, things just went to hell. I think the moment she finished saying that, she was in the trance, because all of a sudden you see these dark clouds coming in and the world around Max just turns to night. Meanwhile, it's definitely daytime outside, and you just hear a voice, and it wasn't Vecna, but it was a very familiar voice that said, "Max." And while we see her in the darkness, we see Steve. Oh, perfect daylight. He's watching Max. He's down by the car and he's just sitting there. And he's looking at Max, who just appears to be sitting there. He's in the car. He seems like he's finally lost his patience, and he heads up to get there. But when he gets to her, it is a jarring sight. He sees her eyes, and we see her eyes. They're almost rolled back. They're not completely rolled back. Like, you can see some of the pupil, but they're like rolled up and they're chalky white. You can barely see the pupil. They're clouded. She's definitely in the trance. And he's like, "Max, Max," he's saying something. He's yelling. And Dustin and Lucas, they hear it and they realize, uh-oh, something is definitely wrong. Inside, you know, the trance, inside Max's mind, we see Billy, or a vision of Billy, saying to Max, you know, "I've been waiting to hear those words for you for so long." But it wasn't the full truth, was it, Max? You know, I think there's part of you buried somewhere deep that wanted me to die that day. It was maybe even relieved, happy. And that's the clip I played at the beginning where he says, "You just stood there. You know, that's why you just stood there, isn't it, Max? It's okay. You can admit it. You know, no more lies." You can see Vecna is just trying to make her feel guilt, make her feel despair. And, you know, she keeps fighting back, saying no, no, no. And finally he's like, "But that's why I'm here, Max, to end the suffering once and for all." And it's like, oh my God, it is so, like, just scary how manipulative Vecna is trying to be to this kid, this demon, this whatever you call it, this entity is attacking vulnerable teenagers. You know, can you be more of a monster than that? So Max falls back off the, you know, off the grave. It was like a raised kind of area. And she falls back, and all of a sudden she looks up and Billy's gone. We don't see Billy anymore. He's replaced by Vecna. And it is jarring. It's like the music cue. He just kind of turns and he said, "It is time, Max. Time for you to join me." Huh? Pretty good, right? No effect. Just tried doing a little voice. And I'm like, "Run, Max, run." In the real world, all the boys, all three of them, are like pleading with Max, "Wake up, wake up." Steve yells to Dustin, "Call Nancy, call Robin, go, go, go." Dustin runs down, grabs the walkie-talkie. He's like, "Code red, code red." But nobody hears her. Nobody's there to answer, because Nancy and Robin are still dealing with that Dr. Hatchhole. He's like, you know, they're in trouble. They're like trying to say to him, "Our friend's in danger." He's like, "Why would I believe anything you have to say?" Now, in his defense, why would he believe anything they have to say? He's like, "You can tell everything to the police." And he's leading them away. And at that moment, Robin notices, you know, the patients listening to music, just kind of gives a little glance. And, you know, you realize that Robin literally 100% saves Max's life when you know, that realization dawns on her. They're walking out and she tells Nancy how, you know, Hatch said music is like a lifeline to these patients. And she remembers Victor talking about music, talking about the voice of an angel keeping him tethered to reality. They're like, "Yeah, the dream a little dream." That's what he was humming. And they said, "Maybe music is the key." Robin, "Music is always the key to everything, right?" So Nancy's like, "Hey, you know, it's worth a shot." And then she's like, "You know, I think we can beat them." She's like, "What? Where? What are you talking about?" She's like, "To the car." And Robin's like, I want you to know I have terrible coordination and I don't know. You know, she's basically making all these excuses. She can't run all these things. And Nancy's like, just follow my lead. And she takes off. And the girls all of a sudden are just running across the grounds. The guard's like, wait, you wait. Come back here. Like, oh, we'll come back. Sure. And there's patients like they're watching them, like they're commenting on them leaving. And another woman's laughing at them as they just run. And run, and we go back into Max's mind, and she's still running. She's still in the cemetery, and you can hear Vecna. He's like, "You cannot hide from me, Maxine." Ooh, the fact that he used full Maxine, it's like, oh my goodness gracious. And it's like, no matter how much she runs, that slow, lumbering, walking Vecna is just not far behind. It's like those classic horror movies. You know, they can never seem to outrun the killer. Who's just walking right behind you. In the real world, Nancy and Robin make it to their car and they're, you know, the guards are trying, hey, get out of there. And they drive off freaking out. Like, you know, Robin saying, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And the guards are telling them to stop, but they take off. They're exhilarated. They're like, I can't believe we just did that. And all of a sudden the walkie goes off and you can hear Dustin saying code red, code red. And Robin picks it up. She's like, Dustin, we're here. What's up? And he's like, oh, please, please, please tell me you guys have figured it out. Now, we don't hear them explaining it to her, to Dustin. But, you know, the next time we see Dustin, he is emptying out a bag. He's grabbing the Walkman. He's grabbing a bunch of tapes. But inside, we go back before that into Max's mind. She's screaming for Lucas, screaming for Dustin, Lucas, Dustin. And things turn red. We see this red mist, this fog just like comes in. It's very kind of scary. You hear thunder and she just starts walking into this mist. And she's walking through the graveyard, or she's still walking in the graveyard, but like her feet are like smushing into the ground. And we see the structure of some kind off in the distance, the red sky, red lightning. It's like very like end of the world looking stuff. In the real world, Dustin brings the tapes up to them and like, what are you doing? What's going on? He goes, what's your favorite song? And Lucas is like, why? And I like that Dustin's like, Robin said, you know what? It's too much. It's too much to explain right now. What's her favorite song? Like, don't give me, there's no time to explain this. Back in Max's mind, she's walking up to what appears to be the leftover pieces of a house. We see the clock floating by. We see the stairwell. And I don't know if right away we're supposed to connect that it's the Creel house, but it's definitely, they're not hiding it because we see like the glass in the doorway. And you're thinking to yourself, at least right now I'm thinking to myself, well, why would they be showing the Creel house? What does that have to do with Max? Well, it doesn't. It has to do with Vecna. But we know that Vecna is in that house in the Upside Down. So we don't put the pieces together yet. It's just like, well, that's Vecna's home base in the Upside Down, and he's causing all those things in the real world. So that's why we're seeing the house. Obviously, it's a little more to it than that. And I don't think Vecna likes that Max ran off and found this place. He's like, what are you doing in here, Max? You know, she steps on something and she sees all these spiders. And he's like, come back to me. And she backs into Chrissy's butt. Now, maybe, I'm thinking about it now. No, I was going to say, maybe Vecna doesn't want to be there. But he has Chrissy's body there, like pulled up almost like a tree or something. The vines, the tentacles holding her up. And like her, you know, Max looks at her broken hands and, you know, she sees this just broken shell, literally a broken shell of a body. Now, Chrissy's actual body is, you know, in the real world, in the trailer where they found it. But like her kind of emotional representation, what's left of her in this realm is what we're looking at right here. And Max is seeing it for the first time. And, you know, you can see the fear in her eye as she starts to back away. Oh, well, that is the 10-minute mark of this episode. But of course, there's only a few minutes left. So I have been authorized to officially sanction
Overtime.
I never was quite happy with that clip. I've only used it a couple times, but it's just me with a bunch of echo. And I'm not even sure if I used the word sanction right. I think I did. Like, I was like, wait, was I sanctioned to officially do overtime, or was I officially sanctioned to authorize? I was like, do I authorize the sanction, or do I sanction the authorization? I don't know. All I know is we're not finishing with those at that 10-minute mark when we only have a few minutes left and we get to some crazy, awesome things. Let's finish this Dear Billy episode. So she backs away from Chrissy, and then she turns and we see Fred. The same thing. He dead. He all crackly and gross. He's up. He's trapped into, I'm almost calling it like a tree or just a post from the house. I don't know what it is. It's gross and it's scary. And, you know, that I'm thinking like these are souls and you know, where she is and Vecna's, the fact that he's reacting to what's going on tells me that we're not just in Max's head. I keep saying we're in Max's mind, but we're also in Vecna's mind, you know, like that's why we're seeing this house and all these things. And he says, how do you like them, Max? Would you like to join them? I'd be like, no, check, please. I'd like to go home. And she tries to run away, but he flicks his giant gross hand and grabs, like a root comes out of the ground, grabs her by the leg, pulls her back in the same position as the other two were, like up against a tree structure, post, whatever it is. Her arms pulled back, her neck pulled back, her head's up. She's defenseless. She is helpless. And we jump back to the real world and we see the boys are fumbling around with tapes. Finally, Lucas, thank God, even though Max was not giving Lucas the time of day, Lucas has been paying attention to this girl. He finds this tape. He says, this is it right here. He puts the tape into the Walkman. Steve puts the headphones on Max's head and Lucas presses play as Dustin yells, now! It doesn't hurt me. Do you want to feel how it feels? No, do you want to know? No, come on, let's sing along. Do you want to know what the deal that I gave you? It's you and me. Oh, this is here right now. I could make a deal with God. I get just to swap our places. Be running up that road. Sing it. Be running up that building. I have to be completely honest with you. I did not know this song before Stranger Things. And this song came out in 1985 on Kate Bush's fifth album, Hounds of Love. I knew one or two Kate Bush songs. One my wife listened to all the time. One was like I discovered was a Kate Bush song because it was a cup. It was done by this metal band that I listened to. It was a piano song. I had no idea. I played it one day and someone I work with was like, is that Kate Bush? I'm like, is it? I have no idea. So I didn't know this song. But in, you know, this came out in 1985. In 2022, after it was featured in this season of Stranger Things, and really probably this episode really killed it, Running Up That Hill reached number one in 8 countries, including the UK, and was number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 2022. In 2023, it reached 1 billion streams on Spotify. And I read that Kate Bush earned $2.3 million from the streams because of this song being on Stranger Things. So not only does it show the power of music, it shows the power of Stranger Things and how something that may have been forgotten for decades, or not forgotten, but just not in the mainstream, can be catapulted and be rediscovered and can be reappreciated. And it's like, you put a song out, you never know. You just never know. And I mean, think about millions of dollars that this artist made just from this song being on this show. So you can imagine the bands out there that are like, okay, Stranger Things 5, please, 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 please put us in your soundtrack. And you feel like that's probably the same for a lot of TV shows, like Peacemaker with James Gunn. How many streams those songs get from that? Because it's such a major part of that show. Just like music is such a major part of Stranger Things. And really, music should just be a major part of everything. So the moment the music starts playing, you know, we hear it, Vecna hears it, and Max hears it. And the moment it plays, she kind of looks off in the distance, and she sees this opening, this portal, this window, door, whatever you want to call it. Something opens, and she can see that the boys are calling for her. They're trying to get to her. They're trying to reach her. She's seeing that people are out there that care, but Vecna's like, they can't help you. But it's like she sees that they're there for her. So there's something happening. But he's like, there's a reason you hide from them. You belong here with me. And she says, you're not really here. And it's so creepy the way he goes, oh, but I am. And he just kind of like, almost like adjusts himself, like the way he looks right at her. He's like, I am. And then he puts his giant claw on her head. And we know what happened to Fred. And we know what happened to Chrissy. And in the real world, you know, I still get chills seeing this moment. I say this is the most iconic shot of this season. This is one of the most iconic shots of this series, as Max just levitates, goes straight up in the air like 15 feet. And the three boys are there just screaming, freaking the F out. They keep yelling her name. And you, like, while that's going on, I wrote down, the music is so perfect. It really is. It's such an empowering, like, I want to do this. I want to keep going. I want to not give up. And as Vecna's hand closes in on her, she still can see off into the real world. She still sees the boys. She can see herself. It's almost like she's watching it on a TV from afar. And then we get this montage of all these good things, all these great things that are a part of Max's life still. You know, we have Lucas just a few minutes ago telling her, you know, that they're right there, that he's right there. We have a flashback of her and him, you know, throwing candy in each other's mouths, her and Eleven at the mall, their first Halloween together back in 84. More moments of her and with Lucas and her with Dustin, her with Eleven, with Mike, all of them at the movies together, you know, hugging them goodbye when Eleven and the Byers moved to California, kissing Lucas on the dance floor. There's so much good, so much to be happy about. And she finally just snaps and rips a giant part of Vecna vein. I don't know what the hell it is. Whatever it is, it seemed to hurt that a-hole. Ripped it right out of Vecna's neckna. And he stumbles back. And, you know, she doesn't give up. She kept running up that hill. She hits the ground. And because she gets released, he stumbles back. She sees that window. She sees that door. And she bolts for it. You know, Vecna, like, he doesn't chase after her. I don't think he can run, really. And he starts, you know, flexing his powers, and he tries to have all these things falling on her, trying to, you know, reach her, trying to catch up with her. But she keeps running. She keeps running up that hill, keeps running for her life, running for her friends. She's getting so much closer, so much closer. And you realize, can she make it? She sees the door. She sees the opening. She sees her friends. And Vecna is just watching. And then, boom. It goes dark. And then she wakes up. She's alive. She falls to the ground. And she's like, oh my God. And they're like, they're freaking out. We thought we lost you. And she's like, I'm here. I'm still here. And it is, oh, like, holy crapoli. I wrote down the S word and I didn't say it. I've said it enough already this episode. I'm censoring myself. Like, whew, what a final 10, you know, plus minutes, 14 minutes. What an ending to a great episode. Took us a couple weeks to get through it, but we're going to jump into the next episode as quickly as possible. So get ready for more Stranger Things Forever coming next week. I'm looking forward to talking more about this with you. But the one thing I wrote down at the end of this, because I can't recap the whole episode. I feel like it's been taking me a while to get through it. All I know is that in this 10 minutes, Vecna tried. He tried to get her. We saw kind of his lair, maybe. She saw it, but she fought back. Thankfully, the music was the lifeline. You know, Victor Creel and Robin saved the day, really. And how many of you, me included, saw that ending and thought, oh, thank goodness, he didn't get Max. She's safe. She's out of the woods now. Phew. So that's it. I'm done. It's already Saturday. I thought I'd get this to you Friday night. I didn't. But it's officially Saturday. Which means, I guess, tomorrow is when all that stuff's going to start showing up at Target. So I'm going to have to go check that out. So click on those links in the show notes and give Doritos a call if you want to show support for Hawkins, because as they said, some strange things have happened there. And now the world seems to know it. Interesting. I wonder if that plays into things happening in Stranger Things 5, like the greater world knows something is going on there. It must, because we see the military. I don't want to speculate too much. I just want to enjoy it. But we still have a month, almost 2 months, a month and a half to get there. I can't wait. But I'm going to have to. We all do. Until then, my friends, you can find me on TikTok at Geek Mentality Mike and everywhere else at Geek Mentality, except on YouTube, which is Fans Not Experts. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. That's because the website where all my podcasts are can be found at fansnotexperts.com. And of course, you can get to Stranger Danger directly at StrangerDangerPodcast.com and follow StrangerDangerPodcast.com on Blue Sky. That is the place, not X. I hate X. I can't believe I even called it that. Not Twitter. The hell with them. Blue Sky. The skies are more blue over there. That's hence the name. And that's it. I'm done. I will talk to you soon. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And stay stranger. And remember, it's people like you and people like me who help keep running up that hill and keep Stranger Things alive forever.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.